Good evening, Mr. Shem. We're going to cover the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Aleph and Beis about sake and a knife, which is found to be pagum after the shkita, and what the halacha is. The past two chaburos addressed this issue, but there are actually three shitas we know in the Gemara. Rav Huna, Rav Chista, and the middle shita, the shita that we passed in life. Rav Huna and Rav Chista were discussed by the two previous Magidei Shir. I'd like Mr. Shem to discuss the middle shita, which we're going to elaborate upon. Just three quick introductory remarks, please. Number one is that what I say might inadvertently not be in sync with the past two Megiddo Shir, certain things, so please understand that. Secondly, any questions you have, if you can please ask them, unless it's a clarification in between the sections, because it's a little complicated technical Gemara. The third is that most of the chaburas we have, at least that I've myself delivered, have been chaburas which are more, just analyzing a few deep ideas. This one is very technical. I made for myself a table, a chart, and just realizing this, I was able to learn with my Rebbe Mufel of Parnas for over 6 years, and I just preparing things. I don't rise to his level, anybody's level, but it just you just see the training of having a Rebbe, what it puts into your ability to try to go through a sugya and have the kalim to do it, the armaments to do it. Let's begin. So we have Rav Huna, who says that if you shet with a knife and found to be pogum at the end, after shkita, the shkita is possible. That we know. But Chista, though, says that shkita is fine if you can be told it upon something. If you can say that the nick in the knife can be regarded as a result of something having created it. The Gemara says, let's look at the top of Yud Amud Beis, Mish Hashem. It says, third line. If the person did not break a bone during the shkita process or after the shkita process, we'll see what it means. And the halacha is like Rav Huna, which means that the shkita is possible. The person did break the bone, it's like Rav Chista. We'll see what that means. The cloud Rav Chista, afal gab de lo shibra bo etzim. Rav Chista holds, even if a person didn't actually break the bone during the shkita, after the shkita is still kosher. How can that be? How can the knife be kosher? If you find a nick in the knife after the shkita and you didn't break a bone, obviously it must have been the skin of the animal's neck that made the pagam in the knife, that became in the knife, and it should be a nevela. It shouldn't be a kosher shkita. El b'ma yifkim, so it must have been, the knife must have been pogum by something. Ema b'etzem ma'frekes yifkim. Maybe it was the neck bone that made the knife had a nick. It was rejected the simonim of the behema, and it hit the neck bone inadvertently, and that must be what nicked the knife. And therefore, you can say the shkita was kosher because the knife has a nick for the neck bone. Let's stop here for a second. Now, this shkita we have, this middle shkita again, says that if a person was shibra bo etzim, whatever that means, if he broke bone with the knife, then if a person did not break bones with the knife, then the halach like a funa became this puzzle, the shita is puzzle. If a person did break bones, it's kosher. What's this middle shita? What is it saying? So, in order to understand, let's go back to what Rav Huna and Rav Chista themselves say, so we can see what must be between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. We had last week, the past 2 weeks, we had the shita of Rashi, Tosfos has three shitas that are really, I guess, two main shitas. Let's try to evaluate in that light. Let's go back to Rashi. Rashi discusses Rav Huna. And obviously, the way he explains it, the way everyone seems to hold, is that if any shilin, any pagam in the knife, it doesn't matter if you can be told if you can say it came back as a result of a nicking a bone. It doesn't matter. It's no good. Rav Huna obviously seems to be holding that when he has his claw in Daf Yud, Rav Huna says, "Behem v'chayav v'cheskes iser omedes ad shivad l'chav menishchata." The animal is v'cheskes iser until you know b'menishchata ad shivad is kusha. Means until the mice of shkita is bavada, until it's a vados, a verification, until the mice of shkita is bavada, it has no spekos. Unless the mice of shkita has a suffix in it, the shkita is no good. Rav Huna is not saying it's not a chazaka, like a chazaka bikar, the animal was treif unless you changed and made, the animal was not kosher until you did a shkita. He's not saying that, he's saying it's something more. He's saying there's a certain heightened level of chazaka, akidekach, to the shir, that unless you know for a certainty, without any doubt, that this shkita is kosher, the animal is pusel. It's basically, there's a certain force, like a super chazaka, a force in this chazaka that says, unless you know otherwise, the animal is definitely pusel, definitely usher. That's Rav Huna's shita. Rav Chista holds otherwise. The way Rashi explains Rav Chista, which is like the first two shitas in Tosfos, says that there are two things. Number one, that he obviously does not holding he's not holding the Rav Huna. Rav Chisda, who says that you can tolerate a tliyah, you can say that there's a suffix that maybe the knife got pogum on a bone. He obviously is not holding Rav Huna because Rav Huna allows no sekers. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that Rav Chisda, according to the way Rashi learns in the first Sittas and Tosfos, and most of Shem since one of us, I believe, says that there's, I think, Pashas the Gemara, that the pagam is the suffix we had is in the knife, whereas the animal was kosher. In other words, the animal had a good shchita, we had a shal of the knife, we checked it with the knife, and it started out, it was good. The knife was pre-checked. We later on find the knife had a pagam. Since we have a way we can resolve that pagam, the knife had a chazaka likar, it was a good knife, we had a suffix in it, the knife, we could resolve the suffix, it was a suffix. So the chazaka of the knife, it says it was good, it was pre-checked, it beats out the suffix on the knife. Therefore, the knife is deemed to be kosher. We then say we have a knife that was judged for kosher, and therefore we check to the behemoth, said the behemoth is kosher. And that's what Rav Chisda is saying, according to Rashi. In other words, the suffix was in the knife, that suffix was resolved, and the suffix was not in the actual shchita. Fine, we're fine that way. What's the intermediate shchita say? An intermediate shchita says you have to have more than that. You have to have something more. You have to have this verification. Look at the Russian of Rashi, please. Not only a tliyah, look at the Russian of Rashi. This is Rashi, 5 lines to the bottom of Yudah Amar Aleph. He says, 6 lines to the bottom. He says, 5 lines. It's 5 lines. The Vada Etzim Pagam. If you have a tliyah on the Etzim, the Rush is the same thing. Vada Etzim Pagam. He says the knife is definitely poking. The knife was poking. The knife is poking with the bone. Bones were poking. Why don't we simply say we can presume the bones were poking? Maybe the bones were poking. We have a right to assume that. No, the Vada Etzim Pagam. Why is Rashi saying that? Rashi is saying that logically, you can create a vados. You have a virtual knowledge that the knife is pogum because of the bones. In other words, even though you simply say, well, it sounds like tzli, it's just a way to say it, but there's more than that. Because if you want to use regular tzli, if you want to simply say, well, any tzli is fine, we should say like your fister. Fister says it could be the neck bone, it could be maybe, some of you say, it could be other soft bones, you can be told, any logical possibility of something that could have messed up the knife, you can be told upon. It's like any possibility. It's a logical, good possibility. But you have to see something more than that. The middle sheet is saying something more than that is what you need. You need a vados. You need to be able to calculate that definitely this knife was kosher when it shechted. And here's what we do. We say that, look, this, if you take a knife and break bones, hard bones, you break rocks, or some Rishonim say if you took the knife and the knife was thrust or broke, it fell very hard on its sharp edge against the ground. So those edges, and you find a pagam again, so that pagam can be told, because we know that will cause the knife to be pogum. So basically, think about it, the middle sheet is saying, according to Rashi, is that, not like Rav Huna literally, which is that the act of shchita has to be something, but he's saying the chalos of shchita, the knowledge that the knowledge of the kashrus of the animal, that it was geshachta, it was shechted, has to be with certainty. Even though the actual mice of shchita, if it was due to the knife, which had a shiloh upon it, but since we were able to resolve the shiloh with certainty, we were able to calculate with certainty that after the fact that the knife was okay, so the status of the shchita, not the ma'isa shchita, during the ma'isa shchita, whatever it was, but the status of the shchita, we can say, has a certainty. The chalosh shchita has to be vados. The middle shchita says, really like Rav Huna, similar to Rav Huna. Rav Huna, according to the first shchita, Rav Huna himself is saying, the ma'isa shchita has to be vados. But this middle shchita says you can separate the ma'isa shchita and the knife. Right? And it says, well, the ma'isa shchita, that itself, whatever happened, happens. But the chalosh shchita and the behema, that itself, we have created a certainty on that. Because we can certainly resolve that the knife must have been pogum because of breaking bones. Therefore, the very important thing. So is Rav Huna, is this chumra of shchita, whom if the first two shchitas agree to, Rav Huna and the Ar Pesach, the middle shchita, is this chumra of shchita, is it the ma'isa shchita must have vados, that it was chashish shchita, no sekers, or no, the chalosh shchita. And therefore, we separate the knife from the behema. Knife had a suffix which we resolved totally, and that's fine. Since we resolved it totally, perfectly fine. Ma'isa shchita would have had a shiloh. You can mix them all together, the knife and the ma'isa. See, so isolate the knife and treat the knife. You can later on say the knife was bevadei kosher, and the ma'isa shchita was fine. Therefore, it's fine because the chalosh shchita, the result of the shchita, we can say is verified to be fine. The next shchita we have for Boston just a few weeks ago, Rashi, is the third shchita in Tosfos. Tosfos says the whole chiluk in the Gemara is saying that. The written thing that behema lo yisrael, there's no suffix, no reyes, and no question of the behema. Sakin yisrael, only in the knife there was a suffix, and you isolated from the behema, therefore the behema is fine. this sheet isn't going that way. It's somewhat of a Sphinx fake, maybe not a literal Sphinx fake, like a Sphinx fake. So you have two Sphinxes. You say, on the one hand, you know, the knife could have been nicked because of a bone. And even if it wasn't nicked because of a bone, maybe you shechted the animal with a part of the knife that had a nick. It was a long enough knife, the Rishonim say. Machlokes, was a very long knife, a regular knife. It was long enough that you could have shechted the animal without definitely using the nicked area. So we have like a Sphinx, a Riboya Sphinx, two Sphinxes. Maybe the knife was nicked in a kusher, it was nicked after the Shechita, it was before the Shechita, maybe didn't shech connected the nick. What's this Shechita say? So Rafuna doesn't accept this, of course. Rafuna says the same thing again, which is that the Maisa Shechita has to be Vados, has to be with certainty. Therefore, it's never going to work. Whereas Rav Chista himself isn't to be similar to beforehand. He says that as long as he rejects Rav Huna, he said there's no special halakha, the animal has this status of being austere until you can prove otherwise. He says it's a regular chazaka mikar. The animal had a status of being not shechted, and it's vuchel, or not shechted, and you did enough things to demonstrate, remove that chazak, you flip the chazak over and says, chazak in the car was removed, now you have a chazak that was shechted because you have a knife that you can say it's a good knife, and I have a chazak that it's a kosher knife because you resolved the suffix on the knife. And if you have a kosher knife, that chazak of the knife can flip around the chazak of the behemoth that's not shechted, and therefore the behemoth is shechted, fine. The piston is similar in both of these. The middle sheet, though, is saying something different than that. It's saying that it's not sufficient to say, well, I have two simple sphinxes. I have a suffix. Maybe the neck bone is what made the knife pogum. That's not the greatest tliya. It's an okay tliya. And not only that, maybe using shech connected the right part of the knife. You need more than that. That itself is like similar to a sphinx. You need something more than a regular sphinx to break the chazaka of the animal is also, according to this middle sheet, the way we passed it like. Because it's saying that it's not just making a cheshbon. So Sphinx Faker, even though it's really based on probability, it's really a cheshbon. It's saying that I have the right to assume this, and I have the right to assume that. There's so many fakers, I have the right to go the cooler. That's basically what it's saying, and having a rebuild of fakers. But it's saying that there has to be a knowledge that the behema was shechted properly. Whereas if you have a tliya, which is a very, very strong tliya, if you know you smashed the knife on bones afterwards, that's a very strong tliya. Plus you have another suffix beside that. Put them together, so therefore, it's not simply a sphinx. I have two possible things, and who knows what's true, but it's more than that. It's saying that the probability of the metzias, the strongest, the basic evidence, the preponderance of the evidence you see in law, shows, it looks likely to show, the behemoth it was shechted properly based upon the actual logic, not based upon the test when we say there's two sphinxes, therefore you have the right to go with kula. But there has to be a compelling reason to mount to the behemoth. So it's not saying as strong as Rav Huna the animal is usher until you prove otherwise, but it's saying that there is as long as there is a level of birur, a level of clarification that tells you logically I have the right to assume the animal is fine, that's okay. So just to go back 1 second, there's a lot of information here. In other words, just go back. And Rashi, in the first Rashi, as well as Tosafot, everyone's saying that Rav Huna holds this special law for the animal. It's not simply saying it's a chazak to mekar, that an animal is assumed to be usher until you know otherwise. Like any chazak to mekar, as long as you can just flip the chazak over, you're fine. But no, there's a certain inertia, that unless you can verify, unless you can prove that the animal was shechted properly, without any doubt, unless you can prove it, like, not like Eders, but maybe like Eders, something close to that, it's usher. Shita Rav Chista does not accept Rav Huna at all. It simply says you have a chazak to mekar, a regular chazak, like anything. If the animal wasn't shechted, but if I have any halachic reason to say it was shechted, whether it's a sphinx, or whether it's because I can simply say, well, the knife, I'm able to create a chazak in the knife, and after the knife I can use to flip over, to turn around the chazak in the behemoth, that's good enough. It's just a simple cheshbon. It's like a simple chazak. But the intermediate Shita is saying something between us. It's leaning towards Rav Huna. It's either saying that our knowledge, even though there might have been a suffix in the knife, but since we can isolate the knife from the behemoth, we can calculate a certainty that the animal shechted properly. That's what we need. Rav Huna says you have to be able to have the halos, that the result of the shechita, the result of what you're doing is fine. Or he's saying that there's a stronger chazaka, maybe it's a super chazaka, which unless you can have compelling reason to say that the chazaka is removed, not just sphinx, which is just a bunch of sphinxes, but unless you can say I have a good logical basis for it, which means I have a good strong tzliya, it's not going to work. That's what he's saying. We do have a focus, obviously, the first and second sheet to hear. first sheet just says it's true. You can literally, the Gemara says that the hema lois roi sakin yisroi. The hema has no suffix in it, and the knife has a suffix, and the knife suffix we could resolve. The knife had a chazaka was checked, and then you had a suffix on that pre-checked chazaka knife. So the suffix versus the chazaka of the knife is fine. And therefore, that kosher knife can be used on the behemoth, and everything is fine. The second sheet in Tosfos, as we saw, they've also read this to Grashon also. Tosfos said, "Demali isli reis of the sakin, mali isli reis of behemoth." Doesn't that? What do you mean? Who cares whether the sock, the suffix in the behemoth or the sakin? The Gemara doesn't really mean that the suffix is here or not there. It doesn't make a difference. What it really means is like a fake operation. So what's that machlokus? Do we say that you can isolate the suffix, or the suffix in the knife, not the behemoth, or no, it really doesn't mean that. It really means something else. There's really no, you can't separate these figures. So perhaps, the Balzan said in other rooms, perhaps the pshat is like this. Perhaps the machlokis is, what is the yisod of shechita? What's the yisod of saying something is shechita? The first shechita is saying that the yisod of shechita, the first shechita is saying the yisod of shechita is really in the result, mechalos. This animal is geshach, this animal is shechta. You do a maisa shechita, you take the knife, cut the animal throughout to the maisa shechita, simply as a hefshir to create the resulting shechita. So the suffix we had in the knife, that suffix was in the knife, that suffix was in the hefshir, in the preparation for the animal having this geshachten status, this result of being shechta. That suffix that's in the preparation, in the preparatory procedure, the hachana, the hefshir, and the knife, that's not going to impact, that's not, you can ignore it, you can separate that out. You can segregate it from the actual chalos and the behemoth being shechted. You can separate them apart. However, if you say shechita is not the behemoth, chalos and the behemoth, shechita is the maisa shechita. The result is the behemoth is shechted, but the mitzvah of shechita, the yisod shechita is the maisa shechita, then you can't separate them. And that's the second, that's the last you can toast. You can't say, well, there's a suffix in the knife and not a suffix in the behemoth. There's no such thing. The shechita means applying the knife to the behemoth. You cannot separate them. And therefore, a suffix in the knife is a suffix in the behemoth. You cannot separate them, because the yisod of shechita is the maisa shechita. The first two shechitas in Tosfos, and actually held, no, the yisod of shechita is the status of the animal being a shachut, being shechuta. And the act was simply to create that status. And therefore, the act was preparatory. The act had a suffix in the knife, but the chalos is definitive chalos. The suffix does not lie in the chalos. Perhaps that's the machlokas here. There's another machlokas between the Rashi and the Rashba about what Rav Chisda is saying. Rav Chisda says, again, you can be tola, or in the etzem mafrekis on the neck bone. What does that mean? Rashi says it means that if the person shechts the animal, if he definitely touched the neck bone while he was shechting, you can be tola, you can say, the neck bone must have been the thing that created this pagam. I shechted, I touched the neck bone, I know I felt I touched it when I shechted it, I'm looking at the knife afterwards and I found it's pogum. Rav Chisda says, since I know I touched the neck bone, I can assume the neck bone did it. And I said beforehand again, it's really not, I'm not saying definitely the neck bone did it. By the case of the Shiva Bat Samos, a real broke bones with it, that's more of a definitive type of clear. But here we're simply saying, I have the right to assume the neck bone did it. But the Rosh Hashanah say, the neck bone factually is not going to be pogum any more frequently than the skin of the behemoth's neck before you shech the simonim. But it's an equal possibility. It's a good possibility. Therefore, I have a chazak in the car, the knife was good. I have a suffix that maybe something messed up the knife. So therefore, I go over the chazak in the car, it's a good knife, a shech knife. That's Rashi. You have to definitely have touched the neck bone when you shech it. The Rashba says no, it doesn't mean that. He proves from the Lashonos and the Gemara, it means that maybe, Amos says, maybe the neck bone was touched. Maybe the shechita touched the neck bone. Therefore, according to Rav Chisda, any shechita, whether you touched the neck bone or don't know, unless you know you didn't, if there's a possibility you touched the neck bone, you're not aware of it, then that's perfectly fine. And you can say the knife was fine. If you kind of make the knife, it's fine. What's the question? What's the Rashba saying? This is not a good sliya. A good sliya means you have a logical reason to resolve the suffix. This is a possibility of possibly resolving the suffix. It's very far fetched. So machlokas might like this. Again, I'm saying certain things that might clash, might support. I'm not sure things were said previously. Please forgive me, but this is the way I'm just trying to learn it. But the machlokas might like this. And there's a raya, a very strong raya from the Rush from this. What's the idea of a pre-checked knife? We're going to see the third sheet hopefully later. Is a pre-checked knife, is it simply regular chazak, it's knowledge, it's status quo. Just like Rav Chisda says, I don't accept Rav Huna, the animal is not shechted, it's a status quo, it's not shechted. There's no certain force saying it's not shechted, you must overturn, you must prove otherwise. It just happens, it's not shechted. If you have reason to say it's shechted, it's fine. So to the knife. The knife is pre-checked, it was a pre-checked kosher knife. But if the knife, if nothing happens to the knife, Who knows? There's nothing that says certs that must be considered to be kosher. That's one way to do it. Another way to do a knife, something buttock, a pre-check knife, is to say that the knife, due to the fact that it has sharpness, its firmness, and so forth, the solidity, the nature of the knife is to cut and to crush, and it doesn't get crushed itself. Therefore, a sakin baduk is itself like a certain force, like a super chazak. It's saying that there's a certain force saying that this knife is known to be, is known not to be pogum, and until I can prove it's pogum, because a knife normally is not pogum, until I can prove it's pogum, I must assume that anything the knife contacted got cut by the knife, but the knife wouldn't have cut the thing. The knife is not going to be pogum until you can prove otherwise. It's a certain chazaka of like inertia, a certain force, and the knife must constantly, dynamically be assumed not to be pogum. It's always in its initial strong, firm, sharp state. But the other sheet just says, the knife might, the status quo wasn't pogum, but if you ever say pogum, it's pogum. That's the machlokes here.
Yeah, but why should we say that?
You'll listen.
What's the force? Where's that force coming from?
I'll get there. I'm not trying to avoid this.
Yeah.
So according to the shot of Rashi, Rashi's the easier sheet, the simple sheet. The knife is status quo. It's checked, it's fine, but who knows what's happened to it? And therefore, unless you have a tzli, you know you touch the neck bone, the knife is going to be, you're not making assumptions. You have to know you touch the neck to mafrekis, neck bone, and then you can say, I have a good tzli, otherwise, nothing. However, according to the Rashba, and I want to address this Rai in a second, hopefully, according to the Rashba, there's a certain force, saying the knife has a force of a certain koach of being in sakin baduk, there's a certain hazak, a certain koach to it. And that koach, if you have any question about it, any reason, if you have a possibility that it touched the neck bone, then you can say, you know what, the knife remains its original status. You don't have to have a strong tzliya to decide to say, well, the knife got bent for this reason. The knife doesn't naturally bend. Any possible tzliya, something that it touched the neck bone, that itself tells you, you know what, might have touched the neck bone, the knife is a certain chazaka, it would be in its original state. It's the quality of the knife. The Rush, I believe, supports this idea. This is the Rush, and we get him Daf Yud, of course. A second, please. I'm just going to read a sentence. Of course, you can interpret this different ways. I can't fight it out now, at least. But the Rush says like this. In the top of the second column, on page Kufnumba. The Rush says that, we started at the top earlier. Bottom of the first column. Tatal of the Kaimalan, Robin Sunetsu Shkita, Mumapain, Veloa Marina, Smoke Mutu, Veloa Mumapain, the Behema, the Haya, the Kaskas Isser. When you say the rove mesunei shkita mumkim, most people are assumed to be mumkim. We don't say, well, rove are mumkim, but there are a lot of are mumkim, and therefore, if you have a suffix on the shkita, you can always say, well, maybe it wasn't by a mumkim, therefore that mute of any mumkim, you have to take into account, and you mess up, and say the shkita is no good. Rosh says, the ain mumkim the behem b'chaya b'chazkas isra amenet, ashivada l'cha b'men mishkita, kim de mute, the ain mumkim, lo shkiach, the mute we don't worry about, we don't think about, it's not shkiach. It definitely is known to us that it was shechted properly. And it was out of klal iser. The mute that you think exists for you don't know how to shecht, don't worry about it. Vadai, we know it was shechted properly. Yafa. Okay. Hachnai, so too by the knife. Even sheshachet besakin butik. Since you shechted the sakin butik, lo shchiach shenifkan be'or of mafrekis. It's lo shchiach. It's something that is uncommon, unexpected. That it would be pogging by these things. Certainly it was nishchad yafah. Yatsa mikal iser. Don't worry about it. So that's the idea. That this knife has a certainty about it. Similar to the behema, Rav Huna says has a certainty that keeping the chazaka that it's ein ashrut until you can prove otherwise. The knife, due to the quality, the character of the knife, the firmness, the sharpness of the knife has a certain quality. You say, well, it could change any second. We don't say that in quarantine. We say knife certain quality.
Why don't we say that? Where is this chazaka coming from? What makes knife different than anything else in the world? All other chazakas is status quo. Why should the knife be different than anything else?
The chorus is either the quality of the knife or the fact.
What do you mean the quality of the knife? What kind of quality?
In other words, I'm saying the knife is designed to conflict, to clash with other things, and it's designed to always sever the other things it clashes with. By definition, the knife, the way that it works and the way it's designed is that it's always going to be the victor when it conflicts with something else.
But it's so sensitive. You always have to check the knife. So why do we presume that
You'll see. We'll get to the checking the knife. We'll get to that.
There's a question you have to...
I'm going
to check. You have to check the knife,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
So that shows that the knife, it doesn't have this...
The knife certainly can be clogged.
So therefore, how can you say it has this quality?
We're saying once the knife is checked, then it's uncharacteristic for the knife to lose that quality.
Why? It's so sensitive, you know, it could break or whatever, you know.
You said the reason you need to check the knife is actually bar.
So?
Once it's a principle, it's actually bar, you need to check it.
I mean, I don't see why the knife is different than anything else. You know, everything in the world you have chazaka. So what's so special about this knife?
I think it's quality of the knife. We're not kosher. Let's say the knife was on the table. Saying the chazaka knife on the table, chazaka knife on another table. Now we would say, I don't know, it's a status quo. The knife now, the tape recorder right now is here. Let's say that somebody says, I have reason to believe it's there. I'd say, okay, unless you tell me otherwise, I would believe it's on the table we're sitting at. But if you prove otherwise, you have a chazaka, it was somebody played around the table, the janitor came, and I'd say it's there. That's in terms of the position of the knife and other things. But in terms of the quality of the knife, the firmness of the knife has this firmness, its sharpness, and such. It's not normally nishtana. It doesn't normally get normally.
More than
it's,
anything else?
Let's say you have a diamond, right? Would you say, you know what, I have a diamond, I check the diamond out, it's the hardest jewel, and later I say, you know, I put it in a box with some toys, so the diamond might have gotten, and the toys were actually moved around with the diamond. And I say, well, the diamond had to be checked. I had to bring it back to the jeweler before I sell it. It's a jewel because it might have become crushed by the toys. We don't say that because the quality of the diamond is it doesn't get crushed. Always can. There are cutting tools you can use to cut diamond.
That's because diamond is strong. What makes the knife strong?
It's metal. It's a sharp metal.
But you see that it could bend with the fact that the neck of the animal could break it. You see these things can stop it. So how can you tell me that it has this strength?
It's not shchiach. Anything is possible. It's not shchiach, though.
So then why are we
because
worried?
The nature
so
of it.
What's the problem?
Why
are
we,
no, so what's the machlokas?
We found it was
problem. Whether the knife has this quality.
We'll get to that. I promise. I have to say another sheet. I must say first. I must say the rival first.
So according to Rashi,
Rashi is the sakin is simply a simple chazaka mikara, simple chazaka, and therefore, according to Rashi, I have to have a because of the fact that the knife, nothing about the knife special, but so to say, because it can't be bent. If I find the knife bent, I have to have a good tliya, a valid tliya, a reasonable tliya, which is that that's a mefrekes nifgam on the neck bone. Say that's a good tliya. Anyway, however, according to the Rashba is saying that you know what, the knife is not a definition, and the knife is not bent in the first place, and therefore, if the knife is, so 1 second, please, I'm tired. Therefore, if the knife is bent.
We presume it happened at the last moment. Will not affect the shiur.
I presume the last moment.
Chazaka pushes it all the way
through. Right. We have a lesser tree is necessary. Only as a suffix tree, because the knife, by definition, the knife nature is that it's not a nifkam. Therefore, even a suffix tree is a good enough tree, according to Rashba. Let's try to. We have several more points, and we'll try to get them in clearly, but try to get them in. The ra'ah. The sheet of the ra'ah. It's in the Vedic Abayis. The notes in the Rashi quote on page 31. Page 32. It's on page 31 in the traditional Vedic Abayis. The ra'ah says as follows. He says, how do we pass in this middle sheet? So far, we've been saying we require a very strong tzliya. The person was shabrat samos. He broke actual bones. Not that some mafrekas. Point the way we pass it. The chista lies on mafrekas. We don't allow that. He says no. The chista like the Rashba. Chista says, even a suffix, noga betzim. Suffix etzim afrekis haim. And we, our middle sheikh, says, as long as you know you touched etzim afrekis, you can be told it, says the Ra'ah. You don't have to be shover at samos. Even the etzim afrekis. He said, on any bones, he says, and he tries to box in the Rashba by saying, if it means something else, then there's this middle sheikh of etzim afrekis, how can it be? The Gemara should discuss it. It's a beautiful Ra'ah. Otherwise, he seems to agree to the Rashba. In this case, the Rav Chista against Rashi, Rav Chista is saying Safik Naga, but we hold Vaday Naga. So what's he saying? So what he might be saying is that the middle sheet really, as opposed to the first two sheets, we had Rashi and Tosafot say that the middle sheet really essentially agrees to Rav Huna. There's a special halacha of a behema, a certain super chazaka that it's known to be usur unless you can prove or verify or do something strong type of verification that it was shechted. The middle sheet just seemed to hold that way. He's saying, no, the middle sheet to hold doesn't hold that way at all. It's simple, only a simple thing, just like Rashi, same as Rashi within Rav Chista. simple, simple tzli, simple chazaka is fine. The animal who says Rav Huna agrees from the middle shita, there's no special chazaka. Regular chazaka nikara. Look at the knife separately. The knife separately has a chazaka. There is baruk as a suffix with a stam tliya, which is fine. But it's my frekis. Therefore, the sakin gets a status of a chazak on the sakin, a simple status of chazak on the sakin, reverse of the simple status of chazak on the behemoth. So that's all he's saying. The Ra'ah is saying that really he does not accept Rav Huna according to anybody except Rav Huna himself. The middle shita rejects Rav Huna entirely. And these two shitas, our shita and Rav Chista, I believe he holds, would argue, the gufa, what we just discussed, within whether sakin baruk has this special status that the Rush seemed to indicate. And the Rashba agrees, a special strong impervious status, unless you know otherwise, it must be affirmed to be not pagum. Or no, it's like Rashi. A simple Sakta Mikara, but I certainly could be pagum, no problem. Next sheet we have is the sheet in the Gemara of, it's called, I guess, the second version of Rav Chista. I'm just going to read part of it. We're running out of time. I don't want to, go into Mari. But Rav Chista says like this. Let's just skip down into it. It says Rav Kahana. It says, we asked about Rav Kahana. Amar le Rav Acha brei de Rava Rav Ashi. Rav Kahana masriu pedikusa being kol chada v'chada. Rav Kahana holds you should check the knife between every shechita. Now, by the way, this is a machlokus in general. If you had a knife that was pre-checked, do you have to check or not? The way the Rov Rishonim say is there's no need to check in between shechitas. It's an Eitz Tov. It's a good thing and preventative, because if you found out the knife was pogum later, you're going to go back to Mafreya and you're going to trade off everything. It's good to check, but it's not required. But we're asking at this point. We don't know anything yet about that. According to Rav Kahana, requires checking between every single animal. Come on. Who's he saying this according to? Rav Huna, Limsal Kamai, is he saying like Rav Huna? And therefore, if you didn't check the knife and you check the animal, that animal would become treif, because he might have made the knife pogum on the aura, on the skin, before you check the simonim. So, lo, Rav Chista. No, he holds like Rav Chista. He's saying, according to Rav Chista, you should check the knife. Shuri Basraisa. He's saying you should check the knife in order to make sure the later animals will be fine. As if you find a problem with the animals at the end, it's good that you check the knife. You should check the knife earlier, so that way the animals that you shechted afterwards, the mafreya will be fine. If you find the pagam at the end, you know when the pagam came. So check the knife in between. You can say, I know the pagam did not happen at each stage until the last animal, so to say. Then it says, Yachi tibai nami b'dikas chacham, lechanam b'sur. Okay. So, this idea is saying that you have to check the knife in between each animal, right, in order to master the other future animals. In other words, the sheet is saying that, according to Rav Huna, if you didn't check the knife, each animal that we checked afterwards would be presumed to be a suffix. Usser, because we say that when you check the animal, making the next mafrekis, make the knife pogum, and therefore if you check the next animal, you check the knife that has a problem, because made the next mafrekis, made the knife usser. So therefore, between every shechita, you must check the knife, because if not, after seeing the next mafrekis of the shechita you're doing, is going to pogum the knife and make the knife puzzle for the next shechita after that. Most Rishonim don't pass in this way. They say that really, Rav Kahana is saying like Rav Huna, you should check the knife according to Rav Huna, but we don't say that that's a mafrekis you have to worry about is going to mess up the knife. We don't say that halacha. The Ravid does pass in that way. Something is the raisa. Therefore, we have to be choshish. The Ravid says in Paskin that you can never shkita. You don't check the knife. Maybe the mess of mafrekis mess up the knife. It was poking the knife, and therefore the hammer you're shechting is asur. That's the machlokas. So first of all, what is the Ravid saying here? What's the Ravid saying? The Ravid seems to be saying, I'll get to the husband's two steps after this, a third idea of the knife. What's this idea? Why do we, in the middle sheet, say that you have to assume the knife may become pogum? It's like Rabbi Balsam was saying a few weeks ago, Rabbi Ashman also, which is that knife, even though it's very strong material, it's made not to be damaged, like a diamond, not literally, but, I mean, but however, though, the knife, we know the knife does become pogum. We know through experience, not through shechita, we know through the fact the knife can hit bones, whatever can happen. It can be stuck on the ore, as we see here. It doesn't usually happen, maybe, but it can happen. The knife is likely to become pogum. That's the nature of it. Like in war, you have soldiers. This is the strongest physical person, probably is an armed soldier, right? A soldier with weapons and armor, he's the most vulnerable also. This soldier is going to be sent out to the battlefield. What's the chance of the average person, average people being harmed? Very little. Soldiers being harmed? Very likely. Very likelihood, because they're facing battle. You know, they're very well armed, they're facing battle. So to here in terms of the knife. This knife is the strongest thing, however, it's being put in an environment which is going to compromise it, which is going to be challenging it all the time, through the shkita. And therefore, that's what the second shkita of Chisda, which is the Raivis Psak, is holding. That the knife is like its Asur Lishtanus. A chazak is like Asur Lishtanus in the knife. Even though it's not inherently a Sulishtanish, the knife is made strong, but what's going to happen to the knife, despite the desires of the shokets and happen to it, is going to become compromised eventually. It's likely to become compromised. Therefore, it's like a Sulishtanish. Therefore, we have a spectrum of three ideas of the knife. I wish I could say this deeper. I hope I can, but we have the Rush is saying the knife has a certain impervious quality to it, and therefore he says it's not likely to become pogrom unless you can prove it is not pogrom. The Rush says that. However, that works. That's the mitzvah. It goes by. He looks at the actual physical quality of the knife. The Ravid here is saying the exact opposite. Look at the knife's experience, the use of the knife. The use of the knife is like a soldier in battle. An armed soldier by himself is the strong knife. But in battle, he's become compromised, his safety. And the knife itself is being used in shechita, it's becoming compromised. It's being conflicted, challenged, compromised every second during the shechita. It's like it's a suri yishtana. It's not inherently, but it's similar to that idea. So we have, and Rashi is a mitzvah. What's Rashi saying? Rashi might be saying, perhaps, you know what, we have two conflicting ideas. The inherent quality, strength of the knife, firmness of the knife, the fact the knife is always dominant normally, and we have the knife being put in an environment of compromise. The clash of these two ideas, we could either nullify each other, cancel each other, we could say we ignore these two factors, and we just leave it, we're left with simply a simple chazakah. We have a chazakah, we have two conflicting clashing chazakahs, strength and weakness, they both drop off, they both clash, they fall away, we're left with a simple chazakah, because in terms of the knife. Perhaps that's what Rashi holds. That's why Rashi says, the knife is a simple chazaka mikara. We don't assume it has a certain imperviousness to it. We don't assume it's going to become compromised. That's why Rashi says, we have to vade bishov mishavar atzamos, according to Rashi. You can't just rely upon that in fracas, but it's not likely to become pogrom. Simple chazaka mikara. Those are the three shitas, I believe, for this. Mikid Eger asks several shilas in our sugya. One shila he asks is as follows. The way that the Rashba presents this middle shita, this shita shnia, we call it in of chista, where the rive paskins again, which is that according to chista, we have to be concerned that every time you shechted, that's a mafrekis, by the damage of the knife. And therefore, if you shecht another animal without checking the knife, according to the Rav Chista, that's the animal's treif. However, the Gemara, it's muchach in the Gemara, according to Rav Huna, he's not concerned about it. Rav Huna says, you know what? It's a good idea to check. If you didn't check in between, as long as you don't find any pagam in the knife, you can. You know, if you checked it later, or if you didn't check it later even, but it's don't worry about it. You don't have to be choshesh that the knife was mishabed at mafrekis and became pugum, and therefore the next animal was puzzle. So again, Rav Chisda says, if you didn't check, that's a mafrekis might have damaged the knife. You can check after the shkita. The next animal you have to assume to be nevel unless you can verify the knife otherwise. The Kuhn is not concerned about that. He says, keep shechting and shechting and shechting. Baker didn't. It's not a problem. Unless you find a problem, you can't resolve, unless you find a problem later. So it turns out the Rav Chisda is more chomer than Rav Huna, the Rashba says, according to this idea. And the Rav Chisda is half nappy. Rav Huna is the most machmir. Rav Chisda is much more makel. He's two shitas makel than Rav Huna. How can he be more machmir than Rav Huna? So the answer, I think, is, and unless I misunderstood, it's a straightforward answer. Because Rav Huna's chomer is a din in the behema. The behema has the super chazaka to it. The behema itself, is until it is verified to you, and it was shechted properly, the behema is usher. So din in the behema. The chista is the din of the knife. The chista is saying the knife has a certain tendency to be compromised. The chista says, I agree, the behemoth has no special chazakah. It's not going to be car, simple chazakah. But the knife is subject to be compromised, subject to be pogrom, and therefore I'm walking around the knife. But Rav Huna is saying the behemoth is what's awesome. The chista is in the behemoth. Unless you can verify the shechita is in the behemoth. The knife itself doesn't have any special compromised status to it, special likely to be compromised. Therefore, if you have no problem with the knife, it's a fine shechita. And that's the reason that Rav Huna is actually more makel than Rav Chisda in this circumstance. We have Mishra, one more point to go. Mishra Hashem. Second, please. Actually, I believe that's it. Thank you for coming.